Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Everybody, it's 8 o'clock here on the East Coast, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for this evening, and our lovely news lady is actually, she's exhausted. She ran around all week last week like a tramp with that Michael Taylor Gray, so she's relaxing. She'll be back with us next week. We have a fantastic show for you tonight. Brilliant documentary filmmaker, director, and producer of Follow the Leader, Jonathan Goodman Levitt, is with us tonight. He has his Follow the Leader is actually going to go ahead and debut on worldchannel.org. It's just World Channel on Sunday, June 30th, 2013. Go ahead and check your local listing for times, but it's a fantastic documentary on youth in politics, really quite brilliant. Then you may know her from HGTV's House Hunters. Liesl Taylor is back with us talking about the market up in Maryland, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about a couple current events. And then all through the hour, of course, you'll be listening to the music of Seth Michael. He's calling in from Las Vegas. He's on the road, Nashville-born, and, a hell of a singer. But today was a very special day in American history. I've been blessed to be here. I am a Canadian import, and I've been here for 9/11. I've been here for the inauguration of President Barack Obama. And today we were absolutely astounded when the Supreme Court came out and invalidated the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, which is now allowing gay marriages be access to federal recognition, and that comes with all the federal benefits to gay couples who are legally married in their states, including Social Security survivor benefits, immigration rights, and family leave. But once again, it's a fantastic day in America, and we're very, very proud. And so proud, indeed, that I found a fantastic song. It's actually by Seth Michael. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later. But in the fight for gay rights, I think it's also important to really thank the haters, because the haters are what fuel the people to go ahead and keep up the fight. So I wanted to go ahead and honor all the haters who have shot down DOMA and then really, you know, didn't want it to happen. But this is a good song by Seth Michael. It's called I've Been Wrong Before, and I'm sure we can all identify. When we get back, we'll catch up with the Jonathan Goodman Levitt. Don't go away.
But ain't they all? She plays my games. She's so damn smart. The last four flames died like leaves in the fall. Start so alive, wake up and it's gone. But I can't see her walking out the door. But I've been wrong before. I made my mistake. The last time I score, it's a chance I can't take. But lying here with her has got me wanting more. It feels so real, it feels so right, but I've been wrong before. Young and wild, ain't that how it starts? Chasing the sun with fire in our hearts. But I keep waiting for that rain to move in and drown our dreams like a whiskey bin. And I can't even say I survived the storm. But I've been wrong before. I made my mistake. The last time I swore, it's a chance I can't take. But lying here with her has got me wanting more. It feels so real, it feels so right, but I've been wrong before. see. But life here with her got me wanting more. It feels so real, it feels so right, but I've been wrong before. Yeah, I've been wrong before. It feels so real, I've been wrong before. It feels so right, but I've been wrong before.
Beth Michael with I've Been Wrong Before. Again, the song going out to all those haters. So, White, you know, congratulations. You made it happen. But joining us now is Jonathan Goodman-Levitt, fantastic, brilliant documentary filmmaker of Follow the Leader. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to At Home with Victoria. This is your first time here.
It is. Well, thank you for having me, Michael.
My absolute pleasure. Before we get into the film and stuff, any thoughts on the DOMA ruling today?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think it's a momentous ruling, really. I mean, I was saying on Facebook earlier today that, you know, it's like really quite something when something this big happens, you know, in any, you know, equal rights cause. You know, I'm looking down my feed and it's just filled with really fascinating, funny, moving, I'm crying, I'm laughing, you know, comments from friends. You know, I think it's going to make a big difference going forward, really.
Yeah. And again, you're looking at it from a documentarian eye. So, you know, before we get into the film, how old were you when you picked up your first camera? When did the bug bite you?
Right. Well, I guess I made my first film in 96, which was on 16 millimeter before it seemingly almost went away. And then I switched over to video. You know, I've been doing this full time since about 1999. So quite a while now.
Well, and you're so young, though, too. I mean, looking at the pictures of you, it's like, God, I don't even know if this guy is 30 yet. I mean, you've got a cheek of 10, my friend.
Well, it certainly helped while I was filming in high school. I used to get asked a lot whether I had my hall pass. You know, that was something that certainly helped me make this particular film where we were in high schools and colleges because I could blend in like that. I mean, now I guess I should send you a picture of me with a beard. I mean, I am 37, so, you know, I look closer to my age, I guess, but thanks for the compliment.
Well, you're still a young pup, 37. I mean, my goodness, child.
Well,
however, let's
enough,
go
I'm
into
not,
sorry.
Yeah. No, I said that's fair enough, but I guess I also wanted to say, while we're still talking about, you know, the DOMA ruling, that, you know, really with this film, I mean, I wouldn't exactly say it's fitting that we're talking about this film on this day, but, you know, it really is a film that asks us to look at the political realities in the country, really look at the status quo of what's happening today and question whether that's what we want in the future. So, you know, for that reason, you know, I don't want to take away from, you know, the much bigger news of the day, but I think, you know, it's interesting to be talking with you about it today.
But no, I couldn't be more on tap with it, because when I was traveling for a bit and I actually got home and Karen had sent me the link and I finally got to go ahead, just watch the extended trailer and read the background. I think it was incredibly fitting that you guys come on today, because your film, Follow the Leader, once again, going to go ahead and debut on World Channel on Sunday, June 30th. Check your local listings again. But and to know that the kids, this film is about three boys, DJ from Massachusetts, Ben from Virginia, and Nick from Pennsylvania. All of them are high school presidents holding some sort of social court within their respective schools and everything, and it's a film about how they're seeing the political process. And number one, did you just wake up one day with the idea? What spurred it on?
Well, this was, you know, really a project that was a long time in gestation. I mean, I was living out of the country in London for about 10 years. I moved there in 99, and I was there until 2008. And when I would come back to the country following 9/11 especially, I just felt that the students that I would have in programs where I would teach, you know, just had political views that, you know, seemed to have changed overnight in ways that I really didn't quite understand because I wasn't getting the same news as everybody was here in the States. So, you know, when I was thinking about moving back home, and starting really in 2005, I wanted to make something about this new generation of kids who grew up in the wake of 9/11 and, you know, really during, you know, the war on terror, which sort of an ongoing war that, you know, almost continues, I would say, in the same way, you know, to this day, even though President Obama said that he'd like to end it. So, you know, it was really, you know, a project about understanding what I'd missed in America. And, you know, to go, you know, film with boys who, you know, really bought into the war on terror mentality, you know, whole hog, if you will, you know, that was what I wanted to do so that I could better understand where they were coming from. I mean, obviously, I also wanted to choose guys that I really got along with personally and that who I liked for other reasons, even if I didn't understand their political beliefs. But that was really where I was coming from. Because I think, you know, like me, a lot of people in America who don't necessarily hold the same views as these boys did at the beginning, I think, you know, we need to understand that as a country. People who don't really understand where they're coming from need to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. No, I agree fully. And plus, one also has to remember that at the age these kids are, they have been living with the war on terrorism longer than people like you and I have. Of course, it's consumed more of their lives. So they would have more saturation, especially with the internet and stuff like that. These three kids seem highly intelligent, very motivated, very learned, and well-spoken. So they're not operating with the same information and say my grandmother would, if you know what I mean. So that's why I love the fact that it's just so fresh.
No, yeah, I mean, I feel that way too. I mean, I mean they're definitely, you know, guys who, you know, they are well-spoken, they're leaders in their home communities, they're all class presidents at the beginning of the film in their local high schools. You know, we get compared to films like Jesus Camp, for instance, but, you know, I actually feel that, you know, we're really talking about the center of the country with these guys, rather than, you know, a fringe part of the country, you know, as influential as evangelical Christians may be, we're talking about really mainstream kids who, you know, are sort of popular in their home communities, even if their views might not be those that perhaps half the country agrees with.
Right. Absolutely. You can go ahead and actually watch the whole film at followtheleader.com. And let's talk about the boy. Or not the whole film, just the teasers up there?
Yeah, I should say just the teasers up there. I mean, the film actually premiered on iTunes exclusively for the next week. It'll be on iTunes where, you know, we launched it yesterday. There's going to be a rollout on a whole lot of digital platforms about a week after the World Channel launch on PBS stations throughout the country. And, you know, there's really going to be a variety of different ways that people can see the film throughout the summer. We're also having a theatrical release on demand nationwide through the TUGG, which is TUGG.com platform, which will launch in early July, too. So, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities. But if anyone's, you know, very excited to see it tonight, they can just go to their iTunes store and rent or buy it now if they want.
Fantastic. That's really good information. Did not know that. Are you thrilled about the nationwide launch?
Sure.
I guess so. But let's go into...
It's been a long time coming on this film. I mean, we've basically been shooting and making the film for the last 7 or 8 years. So, you know, it's a really long process for us. We capture the coming-of-age stories of these three boys who are in the film, and we wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't film for 3, 4, 5 years, really. We followed them observationally for about 3.5 years, and then we interviewed them 1 year and 2 years after that so they could reflect back on their experiences. So, you know, the time to take to edit the film really took a long time after that. And, it's excited. I'm excited that... people can finally see it in this country. It's actually been shown in about 10 countries abroad, across Europe and in Japan, on television already. So it's sort of ironic in a way that a film that's so American is sort of being seen here at this stage in its life rather than first. But, you know, because the boys – sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, not at all. Seriously. No, I didn't. I had no idea that it was in that many countries and open to such success. That's fantastic. Let's go into a little bit more detail about the characters. Let's go to Benjamin first, the loyalist. Again, you said these are all people you've known before?
No, I mean, these were guys who I met while I was researching the film. My films usually come out of ideas, so I have an idea about a film that I want to make, and then I go around casting. I spent over a year meeting thousands of boys and girls across the country and really cast the three boys who you see in the film because I thought that they could represent, you know, the strongest film for an exploration of what I was talking about earlier in terms of exploring these ideas about how Americans who were growing up in the wake of 9/11 really learned what it meant to be American. I thought they were different enough, but also shared that viewpoint, that 100% belief in the war on terror mentality, that it would make it interesting to see over 3 years how they went in different directions in response to growing up, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben, actually, the bit of footage that I did see and stuff, he seems to have everything down from his hand gestures to what hand gesture means what. I mean, he's very rehearsed and methodical about his message.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's loyal to the core, to the Republican Party, really in much of the film. I mean, you'll have to see, you know, whether he changes or doesn't in the course of the 3 years that we followed him. But, you know, certainly he's, you know, very rehearsed and, you know, knows his talking points, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. David Jr., or DJ, the believer, just outside of, he's the one from Massachusetts, correct?
He is. He grew up on the, he actually was born in New Hampshire. He likes to say that, you know, he'd be a favorite son if he ever ran for president in the first primary because he was actually born and lived for the first 5 years of his life in New Hampshire. But, you know, he lives in Methuen, Massachusetts, on the Massachusetts-New Hampshire border now.
Yeah. I know you can't give anything away, but how does he turn out? Is it, well, I can't even ask that, I guess, basically, but he's the one I've got my eye on because he's so very, he's animated to a point that you can tell he's always, again, calculating. So everything is a calculated risk with him.
Interesting. It's interesting that you took that away from the trailer. I mean, I think that, you know, he does, think about things and how things are going to play out, but, you know, he's actually, you know, of the three guys, you know, I think, you know, DJ just does things for the hell of it, too. I hope I can say, should have said heck or something.
No, you can say hell. You can even say the S word if you want. No problem.
Okay. Well, it's good to have that confirmed. DJ is a lot of fun. I mean, he's really just like sort of a, you know, a goofy kid, really. I mean, now he's a goofy young adult, but he's you know, someone who I think a lot of the people who see the film identify with a lot because, you know, he really is just not what you'd expect in terms of a wannabe politician because he comes across in this goofy way, like I say. He's not what you expect a class president's going to be like. It's interesting that you think of him as calculated. I'd be interested
what I kind of saw was, you know, the goofiness too, but it's just the fact that he's just bucking it for the sake of bucking it, and I think he's actually taking in the information, the learning after it. So, you know, again, I see learning people all the time that do 1 year 50 times, but with DJ, man, he's processing information at light speed sometimes. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing, which, you know, again, lends to his charm. Let's go to Nicholas, the idealist from Pennsylvania, which, you know, I'm very fond of Pennsylvania. I'll say a very, very handsome guy and definitely can get the popular vote.
For sure. I mean, we get that response when we're talking about Nick quite a lot. I mean, he's really the all-American kid who, you know, everyone from his hometown of Milford, Pennsylvania, you know, was really rooting for from a young age and continues to root for now. I mean, the coverage on his local newspapers in the Milford area has been intense leading up to the broadcast. I mean, I think there were three articles alone that came out today in his local area.
Wow. Now, are you've obviously been in festivals before. Have you taken away awards for this already?
Well, we actually won an award last week, which was the first jury prize for the feature film competition that we've won at the Northside Film Festival, which was nice because we were, especially because it was such a surprise because we were up against fiction films. There's a really esteemed jury there featuring the editor of Filmmaker Magazine, Scott McCauley, one of the actors on Girls, Alex Karpovsky, a film critic named Miriam Bale, and a host of other people in the industry who I really respect. And, you know, I think to get an award for your peers at this stage in the film's life was really just a lovely surprise.
Yeah. Did working with the boys change your views at all? I mean, I'm sure they have nudged you and made you think about different issues, but have they actually done any fundamental changes to you?
I don't think they have, actually, in terms of my own politics. I mean, I think they've taught me a lot about where the country is right now and, you know, about millennial political opinion or how millennials play in the political space. But in terms of my own politics, I think I'm, you know, pretty much still outside the mainstream, largely because, you know, I lived out of the country for so long. I mean, a lot of the things that we spend a lot of time talking about here, you know, like the whole debate over healthcare, for instance, you know, I just find, you know, really, you know, somewhat ridiculous that, you know, we can't take care of our own citizens in terms of providing healthcare. But the way I think about it is sort of the way it is because, you know, I basically lived in London for almost 10 years. So, you know, I guess, you know, so I wouldn't really say they changed me, but, you know, I think the insider-outsider perspective I have now, having really grown up in a way as an adult living out of the country, is a good thing for a filmmaker. Maybe it makes certain parts of my life difficult because from 23 to 33 I lived out of the country. But, you know, I think it's interesting in terms of going forward as a filmmaker.
Yeah. What year, I can't remember right now, and I feel too lazy to look it up, but what year was same-sex marriage allowed in England? Do you have
any
idea?
Well, that's an interesting question. I can probably look on the internet as quickly as you
can. Yeah, you're faster at that than I am. I'm usually Victoria's doing all this background work because I find that so interesting. And did you actually notice a difference when they announced it there versus the reaction that America had? Because it didn't really even sink into me until I was watching NBC and I watched clips from CNN. And NBC, I just kind of liked Rachel Maddow was on there, and then the other guy, Chris, whatever. And they were giving a really, really good insight to exactly what DOMA means to those that have been waiting for it all these years with the benefits with Social Security and especially the immigration issue. I mean, that's going to be a great, great turn. And plus, I mean, I really think it's going to be so harmful to the Republicans to realize that by legalizing gay marriage, you have essentially turned around the economy. Because all of these people are going to run out and do these fabulous weddings. Boy, people are going to be working their asses off. That's my point.
Right, yeah. Certainly, you know, I'm waiting for the invitations from friends, definitely.
Absolutely. Once again, the film is called Follow the Leader. It premieres on World Channel on PBS, again, Sunday, June 30th. Check, again, your local listings for the exact times. Buddy, we're running out of time so much, and please promise me that you're going to come back. What's next for you after this? I know you're just finishing this project up. You probably want to take a year off, but anything in the hopper for the next one?
Yeah, well, we're in production with our company ChangeWorks on three new documentaries that I'm producing. I'm not directing. I'll be, you know, germinating over that, hopefully for at least the 1 year that you mentioned. But the project that we're most excited about at the moment is called Two Children of the Red Mosque that we've been filming in Pakistan. It's another coming-of-age story of a very different type about two 12-year-olds who attended a really notorious madrasa in Pakistan. And, Yeah, I probably can't go into too much more detail, nor do we have time for too much more detail about that. But, you know, I'm really just privileged to be involved in that project and to really be going through an important part of our shoot at the same time that we're going through this release of Follow the Leader. My time is a bit pulled in multiple directions at this moment. But,
I can only imagine.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a real privilege to do what we do in the documentary industry. So, you know, I really hope people will check out the film on iTunes and on PBS stations in their local area. The America Reframed website has a great station finder so that you can find out where it is in your area. If you just search for America Reframed on Google, it's a great new series that we're a part of. This is the season closer for them, and you know, it really makes a lot of sense for this film, which is really about, you know, providing a new perspective on or a different perspective, one that we don't hear very often, on what's happening in America these days. So, you know, I hope people will check it out. You know, I mean, thank you so much for having me, Michael.
No, absolutely. And you know what? Liesl actually isn't even here yet, so let's spend a little bit more time together. I have some clips here. This is a clip from Follow the Leader. This is Ben about Republicans. Don't go away, Jonathan.
In a campaign, you learn to prioritize. And pro-lifers and evangelical Christians, they're a huge supporter of the Republican Party, along with big business, but, you know, there are only so many CEOs in the world. I mean, this is a tight race, and this is my first experience of negative campaigning. So, you know, I hope that it's received well. The music ended up being kind of dark and very negative, and that's exactly what I want associated with Janet, is negativity. That's Janet. She looks pretty sickly, and, like, if you can show your opponent as being sickly, it's bound to help you subliminally. And then, of course, for the second half of the song, it's very upbeat. We're leaving darkness, and we're going to go into, you know, a happier place. People can make the argument that it's manipulation, but our goal is to win an election. That's the point of politics, to win elections. He's basically everything I would like to become, and I envy him for it.
That was a clip from Jonathan Levitt's new film, Follow the Leader, once again on World Channel Sunday, June 30th. Jonathan, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight. I think it's going to be a brilliant film. You know what? Now that I have your number, I'll call you after the film on Sunday and you know, sing your praises even higher.
Well, that'd be really awesome. Yeah, I'd love to talk to you.
You got it. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight, Ben.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Jonathan Goodman Levitt, once again, I can't. Even the trailer alone is going to get you thinking, because you know where he goes with it and how. I'm curious to see how the kids evolve, because, you know, I mean, I thought I knew everything at 18 as well, but now at my tender age, I don't know anything at all. But I do know Liesl Taylor is here right now. Before we go to her, we're going to go to a little bit more Seth Michael music. This is Monster. When we get back, Liesl Taylor is in the house.
Five years since he gave it up. That monster in his head
pushing him to place one more bet now. Its plan is one hand and it knows that he'll be all in, but it won't be today. That demon's watching, waiting. Evil can be so patient, looking for a moment to strike.
With Monster. You can go ahead and check him out at ReverbNation.com/SethMichael, C-E-F Michael. Another monster we have in the house here is real estate monster Lisel Taylor. Most of you have seen her on HGTV's House Hunters. Lisel, my love, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, Michael. No, thank you for having me on your show. You know I love chatting with you guys.
Well, you're so much fun. I'm sorry, Victoria apologizes for everybody, for example. But she apologized she couldn't be here, but she was just too exhausted, which, you know, so I don't know if you were catching up with her Facebook post, Lisa, but, I mean, that girl has been running for a week and a half, so, you know,
oh.
she needs her rest, darling.
And we've also been talking via emails, and she told me she has so much stuff to do in Ocean City. She's taking care of a few things. So I asked her if she has a clone, and she said no, but she needs to get
No,
one.
She really hovers like a hummingbird. I mean, that's all she does. I mean, she had everything planned. We did D.C., D.C., we did Crystal City, we did Arlington, we did the cemetery, we did the a Holocaust Museum, we did the Newseum, we attended a live taping for C-SPAN, we had a tour of the National Press Club, and I got there Saturday, I left on Monday.
Wow.
And that's what she plans in a day. I mean, she's just dragging us, you know what I mean? But it was also very, very fantastic. We got to see a live funeral at Arlington, which it was somewhat incredibly important because there was a covered, there was a horse-drawn carriage, and then there was the band. It was like, you know, four or five pieces. It was like, you know, 30. And then they had the 21-gun salute. It was breathtaking to watch. But you know all of these areas because you're from Maryland.
Of course, yeah. But I need to take my son on one of those tours because I'm sure that's something he will definitely appreciate.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. The Holocaust Museum, I'll be honest with you, Lisa. Right after that, you better go plan something fun because it is overwhelming. Four stories, and it's not a guided tour, but the information is spectacular. And then what really got me was the shoe room. It was just a room full of shoes that didn't incinerate. So there's little baby shoes in there. Oh, kick in the stomach, I tell you. But
well, I'm definitely going to do that tour.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what's been happening with you, darling. I think it was March you were with us talking about your HGTV appearance on House Hunters. Was that a fun thing? Was it a fun gig for you to do, or was it irritating?
Actually, no, it was tons of fun. It's a lot of work. We had a great time with the camera crew. Actually, when you film with HGTV, it's a very small camera crew. It's just three people who were there, plus myself and the home buyers. So it was very intimate, and, you know, we got to know each other very well throughout taping, and it was a really great experience. I'm actually looking forward to doing it again. And, Michael, yeah. You know, because my clients who've seen the show, my clients who I'm working with now who are buying houses, now everybody wants to be on the show. So it's so funny because now the producer, they were so pleased with my work ethic and how the show was done that they asked me to, if I could bring them another buyer so we could be on the show again. And since I told my clients that, everybody's now lined up to get on the show. It is so funny. They're like,
I'm okay. So happy for you.
I know. But this is what I get now when I meet clients for the first time, because, you know, if they've seen my marketing, you know, I have house hunters on there, that type of stuff. They're like, so, you know, if we buy a house on you, will we be? Can we get on HGTV?
What I can do, but I'll certainly pull a few strings, yeah.
Yeah, I said, you know, all I can do is have you go through the interview process, and, you know, the producers will decide if they like you enough to be on the show. But it was really an awesome experience. It was really, really nice. And we ate well, too, courtesy of the director. So, yay.
Really? Crab services. Always very good on those little things, too. Now, that, I think it aired March 23rd, but how long did it actually go ahead and take you to tape that?
Actually, we taped the show, well, they did it in two parts. We taped a few portions of the show back in November last year, and then they came back out in December to finish wrapping up the show. And what was funny is they sent us a schedule of how everything was going to work. It was actually supposed to be just a 5-day shoot, but it turned into an 8-day shoot because my clients who bought the house were from the U.S. Air Force. I'm sure you remember that when they had all
those
things.
I do, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my clients were from the U.S. Air Force. So when upper management found out that they were doing this show, because initially, you know, when we first started taping, they told my clients that they didn't want anything with, you know, the U.S. Air Force promoted on the show. They couldn't wear their uniforms and all that good stuff. But once upper management found out that, you know, they were being filmed on House Hunters, everything went 180 degrees. Everything changed. Yeah. The higher-ups came in. You know, the cast, I heard, and the crew members had to get special security clearance because they wanted them to come on base. And my clients were telling me, I wasn't there. I missed that part of the show. They were telling me that, you know, the higher-ups actually wanted to take over, like, what scenes need to be shot, that type of deal. They said it was ridiculous. It was like a battle of power because, you know, of course, HGTV's producers were there, and then the higher-ups and the Air Force were there. They were like, they were just sitting there like, la, 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 when are they going to make some decisions? But, yeah, so it was really nice that they actually got involved, the U.S. Air Force. I was quite pleased with that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if I just may mention, I know a handful of people from HGTV who are actually producers there. And, you know, there's only a handful of people doing all those shows on that network. So they are run ragged trying to put together what they did, and I think especially, I mean, these are all shows that I watch, House Hunter, Selling LA, and all that stuff. But, I got to take my hat off to the HGTV producers because they put together some stuff on the fly, and believe me, they're cutting up to the last minute of airtime, so it's a very exciting process.
It is. That's what actually the producer I was working, that's what she was telling me that, you know, because sometimes I'll be talking to her because she'll email me or she'll call me real quick because she needs something. And then she'll be like, okay, LaSalle, I got to go. I got to finish editing this show because it has to go on in the next couple hours. I'm like, huh? Are you kidding me? I said, did you say a couple hours? She's like, yeah, so I'll call you after. I'm like, okay, good luck.
So you're a little busy. What?
Michael is definitely something I will do again. It's not as bad as they portrayed on TV. It was a really great experience. And then I actually learned what happens behind the scenes with, you know, the camera crew. It was funny. Like, I remember we were shooting one of the scenes in the bathroom, and the camera guy actually had to get in the tub, and the way he had to angle his body to make sure he didn't show up in the mirror, it was quite hilarious. Like, I think it took us about 10 minutes before we could shoot that scene because he was like 6'5", and he's in this small bathroom. I mean, she's thinking about it. It's funny. So, but it was something I'll definitely do again. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No problem. Some of my favorites are Property Brothers, and I like
what about
Income
Candace
Property.
Olsen?
Income Property with Scott McGillivray. I mean, I'm addicted to that show, and of course, my favorite is Curb Appeal the Block with, you know, the absolutely stunning John Gidding. That, you know, always, I mean, I hate outside. You know, if we got married, that would be perfect. Just take care of the
mm-hmm.
outside. I'll make sure the floors are clean. Because
yeah,
he's awesome just,
job.
Some of the work that he does is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Because when I look at his show, I'm like, how do they think to do that to the outside? You know, when you see the
yeah.
before and after pictures, I really
yeah.
admire those type of designers. In fact, I would love to hire them, especially Property Brothers. My favorite is Property Brothers and Candace Olsen when she does come. My husband absolutely adores Candace Olsen, though. He loves
her. Yeah, she's
her.
Good, too. Yeah,
yeah she's
no,
really,
she's good,
really
too.
Good.
They got a good roster. And like I said, all those producers take care of all those shows, so it's quite something. So there's no release date for your upcoming episode. You're just in talks with HGTV right now?
Yeah, we're just in talks. Actually, we have two buyers that they're interested in. So right now they're going through the interview process because it is an actual interview process. You have to submit videos because the producers have
yeah.
to decide if they like you. And then once they like you, then that's when they schedule the dates for taping and all that good stuff. So they're still in the
yeah.
interview stage right now, so we're just waiting on decisions. But don't worry, you'll be the first to know once it's a go. I will shoot you an email.
I was going to say, you better come. Come back here, right? Run. You run with your thongs off is what you do when you find out.
Of course, no, but how about this? I'll even like, Michael, you want to come so you could get some back behind-the-scenes footage so you could talk about it?
Oh, maybe I would just really, yeah, I would totally friggin' dig that. That would be, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you could probably just
exciting.
Come out for one of the days that they're shooting. I mean, you don't have to stay all day because it is a 12-hour day. I didn't expect the day to be so long. We start at, like, 8 in the morning, and we get done at 8 at night. So you probably
yeah.
come hang out for a couple hours, you know, get all the good gossip, you know, so you got a sneak peek of what's to come type of deal.
Oh, absolutely. We'll do some behind-the-scenes videos. Oh, my God, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
Lisel Taylor, you can go ahead and check her out on Facebook. You've got your Facebook. You also have, is it LiselleTaylor.com? Is it just that simple?
No, on Facebook it's Lisel Taylor, and then also on Twitter, Lisel Taylor. Everything is Lisel Taylor, so you can't miss me. The only thing that's not Lisel Taylor is my website, and that is Taylor Made Homes for You, and it's the
go.
Number 4 and just the letter U. And like you said, I'm on Facebook. I've also just joined Instagram, and I seem to have gotten a lot more followers on Instagram than on Twitter because everybody seems to like my pictures because, you know, when I'm in houses, I'm taking pictures
right.
of kitchens. And then, of course,
yeah.
they get a sneak peek of my life, and, you know, my hashtag is, you know, real estate agent real talk because I talk about my dieting and showing houses and all that
yeah.
good stuff.
Well,
so,
absolutely, and I think that's what HGTV did for you because, you know, some are, I mean, all I do is surf the internet for stuff to come on the show with. So when I find people like you and stuff where it's entertaining, it's endearing, I get to be a little bit more involved with you because we're friends on Facebook and stuff. It makes it exciting, and I think that's what lends people, because the real estate market is scary for the first-time home buyer, dealing with mortgages and lenders and all that sort. So if you can have someone to walk you through it, which is what you do, Miss Lisel
yes.
Taylor, you just make it look so easy. So I just want to thank you again for coming on tonight, honey, and do let us know when we can have you back.
Of course, you know, I'll definitely shoot you an email. And no, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thanks. I love this opportunity that you guys have provided. And tell Victoria that I'm upset that she's not on the show, but I'm sure I'll catch her another time.
Well, what you should do is just crash her house this weekend, because we'll be there this weekend just crashing late by the pool, and that'll really serve her right.
But did you see my emails to you? I actually, you know, where's my invite to get in the pool? I'm seeing all these posts about pool and pretty pictures. I'm like, where's my invite?
Well, honey, she's napping. I told you, she's exhausted. She's been running like a banshee.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely
anyways,
call.
Love. I love you tons, and you're always a delightful guest. So we'll have you
love
back
you
on
too.
Soon. And again, thanks for making the time, Lisel.
Thank you so much. You have a good night.
You too, hon. Take care. That was Lisel Taylor, Realtor to the Stars. Plus, she's a lot of fun to be around. I see our good friend Seth Michael is actually in the queue, so we're going to go to a little bit more music. And in honor of summer and the day of DOMA, let's go to a big old late party with Seth Michael. Don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
money to take it out to the cold. But the price of gas is so damn high. And jobs around these parts, they come in short supply. After throwing back a few cold beers and a couple shots of shine, an idea just hit me, get the boys on the line. Grab your truck, grab your boat, grab anything you can that floats. Meet us out at Whiskey's Farm. We're gonna bang guitars and drink till dawn, singing every blue collar song. Girls, hands up and sing along with the big old lake party.
Happy birthday, buddy. I think it was yesterday, but I think you're still partying, aren't you?
No, it's still today. Still today, Michael. Thanks so much.
It's so great you can join us. I know you drove, 32 hours down to you know, some stupid number all the way down to Vegas. You're playing there this time?
Yeah, we play Wednesday to Sunday. It's 27 hours from Nashville. We had a stop in Oklahoma for a radio interview and played a song yesterday, and spent a couple hours in Weatherford, Oklahoma, and drove the rest of the way. Took our time, stopped and saw some friends in Albuquerque. You meet so many people along the way and try to connect with them when you can. So it was 34 hours before we got here, though. We were ready to take long naps this morning when we pulled in.
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody out there listening, with the availability and the large pocketbook to afford this fine young man to tour bus, he would so appreciate. Let's just put that out into the universe. I believe in asking for what things needed to be. But so it's been a while since we've heard from you. We've been playing your songs. We've played I've Been Wrong, Monster, and then the last one, Big Ol' Lake Song. What's been going on with you, buddy? You seem like you're on a high.
Oh, you know, it's since we spoke last, the album came out. In fact, I think it was on the air that I announced the date that we were going to push to, and I put everybody on our team under the gun because they kind of called me the next day. Are you crazy? You just told everybody you're going to have our CD done in 4 weeks? And I said, well, I guess we better get to work. And the CD release party was great. We sold out of our first 1,000 run, and we're on our third print of this album. And it's 542 miles. That's round trip from my hometown in Kentucky, as you know from our last time. I'm a father, and And if I'm not on the road, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I drive back from Nashville and have my little boy. And so it just seemed fitting. If I'm going to name my CD, I'm going to, you know, something that has some relevance and something to do rather than just throwing a name on there of one of the songs. But things have been going good. We're getting a little bit of radio play nationwide, a couple of markets. The program directors that take the time to listen usually give us a shot to play on the air. And, you know, there's a station in Indiana where I think Rainy Day Love Making was the most requested song or something along those lines in the month of April. And so people that are giving it a shot and listening to it, the feedback's been incredible. And the emails and Facebook messages I get from the supporters nationwide, the people that listen to it. And if you've listened to the whole CD, there's a lot of substance on there. It's about real life. And it's not just about drinking on a boat and having a good time. It's you know, a lot of real life. It's funny you had a real estate agent on there. I come from a real estate background, and unfortunately, I hit a tough spot. It pushed me into music. I said, you know, if I'm going to not be in a happy spot and not be financially where I want to be, I'm at least going to be happy and play music. And right. There's a song on there called Rock Bottom Again. That's probably the song that will maybe never get radio play, but it's one I'm most proud of. And it's about being in that place in life where you don't think it can get any worse, and 3 weeks later you're going, man, that wasn't so bad. I want to go back to that. And so I'm very proud of what we put together. So it's been a great year. We've played a lot of great shows and just keep working hard. That's all we really know what to do.
Wow. You know what, Seth? I couldn't have done that lead up to that song any better. So without any further waiting, since you think it's going to never get radio play, this is Seth Michael with Rock Bottom Again. More of a Seth when we get back. Don't go away.
That old dirt floor, but I managed to sink to an all-time low. Just how far down do these pirate steps go? Rock bottom, got a basement I didn't know about. You don't think it gets worse when you're down and out? Ain't nothing enough, this is where it all.
Again, something everybody can associate with at one time or another. Seth, I know you've been on the road for 100 million days and everything like that. Have you had any information regarding the DOMA overturn? The Defense of Marriage Act was actually overturned today in the Supreme Court of the United States, allowing gays and lesbians to go ahead and have federal benefits for their legal marriages and stuff. I was wondering, I know you've been on the road writing songs and stuff like that. Do you have any thoughts on the matter? I know because from Nashville, it's a different bunch of people, a different understanding. And I'm not saying that to be negative at all. It's just they have different thoughts up in Nashville, Tennessee.
I think Nashville is probably a little bit more liberal than you would guess. Musicians.
Good. I'm glad.
And bringing artists together. I firmly believe that everybody should have the right to do whatever they want. It's, you know, it doesn't change my life one way or another.
Right.
And I have a very good friend who was actually in my wedding back in the day, and I saw the struggles that he went through with family members on the other side, and there were some health issues with his partner that there was going to be probably some serious battles. And I think if you're going to spend your life with somebody side by side and love them every day, then you should have the same rights and everything that everybody else has. And,
yeah.
You know, it's 2013, and, you know, everybody just go about their business and focus on their own lives. And, you know, I know people that are ultra conservative and think they're raising a tight ship and so on and so forth. And, you know, their families are as messed up as anybody else's. And they think because it's traditional that it's right. You know, I think that everybody should be allowed to do what they want. If it doesn't affect anybody else, doesn't hurt anybody else, whatever it is, go about your business and be happy.
Absolutely.
And be happy for people who are
happy. No one cares anyways. Go ahead, run, get married. I want to get the dibs on the first series that is Gay Divorce. I think that is going to be on the Bravo channel. I'm sure Andy Cohen has already sunk his teeth into that one, but I think that's going to be a hilarious show. That's just my prediction. I want to mention really quickly, too, with the DOMA overturn, Edith Windsor appeal of $370,000 that she had to pay in estate taxes when her partner died. So 84 years old, fighting strong. She's 5'2", weighs 90 pounds, soaking wet. So my hat of the day goes off to Miss Edith Windsor for fighting the good fight. Absolutely. Now, let's talk about this album a little bit. You said it's very reflective. It's very, very deep, which it certainly is with Monster. I've been wrong before on the song we just listened to, Rock Bottom Again. I'm taking that you're pulling this from your own experiences.
Oh, absolutely. I tell everybody, if you want to get to know me, the guy that's up on stage and being rowdy and trying to get crowds into it, you know, that's a part of who I am. But if you really want to get to know me, listen to my music, listen to my album.
Yeah.
And I made a goal when I moved to Nashville, and we spoke the last time. I didn't move there to be an artist. I moved there to be a songwriter. And
right.
Things just kept taking off. I kept getting better gigs and booked more. And I'm not the best singer on the planet. I don't have the image that everybody wants. But there was something that people liked, and I think it's a realness. And I wanted to carry that over to my music. And I'm very close to this. I get emotional when I start talking about it. I'm very close to this record, and I hope I never lose that. I hope that 10 years, 10 albums down the road, I'm still talking about things that, you know, hopefully I'd run out of rock bottoms in my own life, but, you know, maybe I can take somebody else's story and put it in the words for them. But everything on that CD, Monster, was originally written about a cousin of mine who, she walked away from crystal meth. And,
yeah, wow.
I mean, but she says that every day that monster's there, that demon's, you know, it's, every day is a struggle. And right now, I don't know if you know, this country is battling a drug addiction. And
yeah.
There's people that are listening right now, I know for a fact, that, you know, we've got girls that are 20 years old, 22, 23 years old, guy class valedictorians that are overdosing on heroin. And I think I saw a statistic on USA Today that 38% of the states, or 38 states, have a 50% increase in heroin in the last 2 years.
Really?
And, I mean, nurses that have never done a thing wrong are stealing drugs, falling, you know, and going down this path. And I don't understand it, but I do know that there's something that we can do about it, and awareness and cracking down. And there's some laws out there that families can, even though their kids are 22, 23 years old, they can take control of their lives and get them the help that they need. Someone that's very close to me just did that with their daughter. And, you know, she's in rehab facility, and so you know, got to educate people on what's out there for them. We got to start saving these kids. And, you know, I've always said that there's power in music, and I plan on giving back as much as I can. You know, I lost my dad to cancer at 44 years old. That's going to be something close to my heart. But this addiction, this drug war that we're fighting, it's really hit home. My hometown in Northern Kentucky is just getting ripped apart. And it's just very sad. I think it's something that we can step in and do something about. So that song, Monster, I've actually had a couple of rehab facilities contact me and ask me if they could use that song in their rehabilitation. So,
fantastic.
You know, that's if I can touch a life or, you know, two or ten or, you know, however many I can, that's what I want to do. Taking Home With Us is another song that's very close to me and my family. And you know, I was on my way to dinner one time with my little boy to my parents. I get a call from my aunt frantically, you know, get here as soon as you can. The house is on fire. And I sat there with my three-year-old on my shoulder watching my parents lose everything they own. And, you know, it's not the material things. It's pictures. It's the heirlooms. And
right.
It took me, I knew what I wanted to say, and it took me several months to find it. And it wasn't until the tornadoes 2 years ago ripped through northern Kentucky and southern Indiana that the words kind of came to me. And I got up at about 5 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I wrote the song down. It just came to me. Left it on the table. I get up at 9 a.m. and my mom's sitting there crying, reading these words. And everything in that song's a true story. You know, I lost everything I own. I'm very open about my life. I turned 38 years old today. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you look young. You should tell everybody you're 20-something. No, I'm 38. That's who I am. I lost my home. I lost my cars in the real estate depression. And you know, it's just part of, you know, what got me to where I'm at. And looking back, I have less than I've ever had, make less than I've ever made. Cannot remember being happier. To wake up every morning or every afternoon in some cases and do what you love. I wish everyone could feel that freedom. So. But Take It Home With Us is a very close song to me. Rainy Day Love Making, I think that was the one song you had heard back when we first came on 10 months
right.
or so. And it's the first song I ever wrote. Don't Think, Just Drink. I sat down with one of my writing partners, and I said, buddy, my CD is very heavy. We need a fun, lighthearted song. We need to turn off our brains. And he said, well, I start writing this song, and about an hour and a half later, Don't Think, Just Drink was there. And it's one of the most popular downloads I have, so... It's funny,
yeah.
I can tell where people are in life based on what song they will hype best on my album.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are carefree, social, fun people that don't really have a lot of stress going on usually Don't Think, Just Drink or Big Old Lake Party is what they're looking at. If somebody tells me that they love Rock Bottom Again, I know that they've lived some life.
Yeah.
Rainy Day Love Making. Who can't relate to making time for your significant other? So, you know, every song is close to me. And when I did a survey, we were thinking about shooting our first video, and actually we just completed the shooting footage for Big Old Lake Party. But that was going to be a summer song, so back in the winter we were thinking about shooting a video. And I took a survey to see what song on the CD everyone liked the most. And it was within for 5% on every song on the album. 15% people liked this one the most. And so I think I was very proud of that. It wasn't like a... You know, how often you spend $10 on a CD and there's one or two songs you actually like on there, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, and that, I find it too, because you're very interactive on Facebook and your social media as well, so you get the instant feedback from the audience that is basically telling you like it is. They have no connection. They think you're just a singer, and boy, you know, you're opening yourself up to haters so much. But before we go to anywhere, the song Taking Home With Us, really, it did move me. I knew a bit of the story behind it, but I want to go ahead, and not to bring the entire crowd down, because we're certainly going to play Don't Think, Just Drink, but let's go to, this is a fantastic song, one of my favorites. This is Seth Michael with Taking Home With Us. More with Seth when we get back. Don't go away.
God we trust.
coming home with a hug. On their hands and knees, sifting through ash and debris, hoping to find something, anything. Frustrated about to give up, and underneath a broken cup, out of nowhere, it's Grandma's cross and ring. And this family is tough.
Michael, Take It Home With Us. You can download his entire new CD on Amazon.com/Seth Michael, C-E-F Michael, all one word. Seth, again, brilliant songwriting, and I can only imagine what that actually feels like. You are on the road so much now, and I know wifey and child are away. What do you take with them? I'm reading emails here. That's why I'm kind of stumbling. But Debbie from Arkansas, listening, wants to know, what do you take with you on the road to remind you of your family? Which is actually a good question, because you travel in a van, for God's sake.
Well, you know, first of all, there is no wife. We were divorced, and we do a wonderful job of raising our child together. Amazing woman, amazing mother.
Right.
I'm kind of a dreamer. She's a little bit more grounded in that, and. But we have a wonderful relationship in Ark. We have a very happy son, probably the happiest little guy in the world. We're both very strict parents and do a great job. But, you bring your phone and your pictures with you. I'm big on my phone. He plays baseball, and a couple of people that are on the team, a couple of little kids are on the team. Parents I've known since I was a little kid. Neat to have your little boy play on the same baseball field that you played on as a child. And so they'll send me pictures if they know I'm on the road with him, you know, batting or catching a ball. So that's always big. And he calls, he hates being on the phone, whether it's with me and his mom or vice versa. He hates being on the phone. But when you get him on there, he's so excited. That's awesome. My mom calls me. She's listening right now. Sorry, Mom. But she calls me at least 12 times a day. If she hasn't called me in 2 hours, I know something's wrong, so I better check in. But, I'm very close with my family. My mom and I are like brother and sister sometimes. We spend 4 days on a houseboat, and some of my friends get a little taste of that relationship. But, she's my biggest fan, my biggest supporter. And I love bringing people with me. This past week was amazing. I had my son with me. I had my mom, my stepdad, and probably 200 to 300 of our friends, fans, supporters, whatever you want to call them, out there shooting this video at Lake Cumberland in Kentucky. And so getting to share those moments with people I love, I kind of have this open door policy. If I'm in a room in Vegas and I have friends that want to fly in, they're more than welcome to crash wherever they can. And that's kind of the way I've always been.
And it never fails. I'll be on stage in Vegas, and here comes three of my friends walking through the door. I don't have the most fans in the world, but the people that support my music, they are the most incredible people that you'll ever meet, encouraging, making sense when you need it. So, I try to incorporate them into my lives.
Yeah. No, and you do a hell of a job, buddy. We're running out of time here. Now, remind us again, you're in Vegas for how long?
We start playing tonight, and we play all the way through Sunday night, basically 9 to 2, 9:30 to 2:30 on the weekend nights. And I think last time we were on the air, somebody chimed in from Henderson, Nevada, when we were talking last time. So whoever that was, come on back. Come out and see us play. Play at Toby Keith. You never know what's going to happen. Super Bowl Sunday, Toby himself came in, played with us for about 45 minutes.
And, fantastic.
It was a great time. Love it out here. It's been a great anchor for us to kind of work the West Coast and do it affordably.
Great. Now, where exactly are you, though?
I'm at Toby Keith Club inside of Harrah's Casino, right on the Strip.
Inside of Harrah's, all right. Go ahead and check that out, and check out his Facebook page, his Reverb Nation page for concert details. Buddy, I'm thrilled. I'm so happy for you. I love hearing good stories, and I regale in your success. I don't mean to think that I actually had anything to do with it, but I did pluck you from obscurity and introduced you to totally. No, I already. No, I'm just kidding. I'm so happy hearing good stories because. Especially today, like I said, a nation changed, and apparently your nation is changing as well, buddy. So I'm so thrilled that you could actually make it back, and congrats on the new album. I'll keep you up in the queue, and let's have you back for like a Music Monday. We do a Music Mondays now where we just go ahead and invite random artists, play a few songs, they come on for a few minutes. So promise me you're going to come back and do that.
I'll come back anytime you want.
You're most fantastic, man. Enjoy Vegas, and happy birthday. Go out and get drunk now, because it's still early. You're 3 hours behind me.
Oh, I have to take it. It's so dry out here, you got to be careful. So we're not going to start the party until probably Saturday, when we have one day left. You know, Sunday's a little bit more laid back. So you run into business. You got to be professional. So I got to make sure I have a little bit Saturday. We're going to take it easy.
Wow.
So thanks so much
so
for having me.
Up.
I appreciate it, Michael.
you got it, man. And everybody. And huge congratulations again, buddy. Enjoy your tour and say hi to everybody in the band.
Thank you so very much.
Thanks, man. Seth Michael, check him out at Harrah's in Las Vegas, and you heard all the information. Links are up in chat to go ahead and find out everybody you've listened to tonight. Want to give huge thanks to Jonathan Goodman-Levitt. Check him out. His new film, Follow the Leader, is going to be on World Channel on PBS Sunday, June 30th. Again, check your time for local listings. And Lisel Taylor, your realtor with the mostest from HGTV's House Hunters was a fantastic listen, as well as you've been listening to the music of Seth Michael. Go ahead and check him on Reverb Nation and on Facebook. Want to thank all of our guests, Jonathan Levitt still hanging around with us, and our great host from the UK, Shannon Sibbold, calling in from Jarrow to go ahead and man tonight's show page. We're back on Monday night with James Lucenti and his team of wonderful people. You remember him from, he's Preston Leatherman's manager. So he's going to come in on Monday. We're going to do a Music Mondays extravaganza with all of his people. So check us out at that, 8 p.m. Eastern. So I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for At Home with Victoria. Victoria says hello. She's sorry she couldn't make it, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, thanks for tuning in to another edition of At Home with Victoria. Closing with a little more music, just to lighten the mood, this is Seth Michael with Don't Think, Just Drink, which, seriously, we all do from time to time. I want to thank you all for listening. Have a good night.
Lately I've been going insane, 'cause my phone, it barely rings, and my friends I can hardly blame. It ain't like I've been the best hang, but tonight there's a knock at the door. My buddy says he can't take anymore. He peeled me off of that dirty couch, said get cleaned up, 'cause we're going out. Don't think,
don't think,
just drink your troubles away. We've all got problems, let's save them for another day. 'Cause our friends are all hanging out, and they're gonna
With Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.